Global companies face unprecedented risks and challenges in today's economy. To mitigate these legal and economic risks, companies are rapidly embracing and elevating the importance of robust ethics and compliance programs to promote positive corporate citizenship. On Corruption, Crime, and Compliance, you'll hear from industry leaders and insiders about how to create effective ethics and compliance programs that will mitigate risks and maximize financial performance. Here's your host, Michael Volkoff.
Welcome, everybody. Mike Volkoff here. We're going to talk about an important issue. This week, the Department of Justice updated its evaluation of corporate compliance programs. And before we get into this in any detail, this is yet another example of how the Justice Department is really becoming the leading force in compliance guidance, setting standards, and frankly, I think driving international standards as well. And they're continuing top quality work in this area, provides basic roadmaps, basic ideas, ways to evaluate and review and assess your compliance program. It just is terrific work. And yet we have another edition that's come out. There was one in 2023, but this one, 2024, includes a number of important issues. And as everyone knows, this guidance really does carry talismanic significance. It's an important document that provides important direction on the design and implementation of an effective compliance program. And DOJ, I think, fully recognizes the importance of their guidance, and in recognition of evolving technology and compliance program innovations, which is happening rapidly, the Justice Department updated its guidance to incorporate new technologies and risks in response to the development of artificial intelligence, AI capabilities. At the same time, though, and don't just take this that headline and run with it, DOJ added important language to address several other issues: risk assessments and risk-based allocation of resources, policies and procedures, training, investigations and retaliation, third-party management, compliance access to data, yet again, addressing that issue, mergers and acquisition and post-acquisition integration, compliance autonomy and resources, compliance program effectiveness measurement, and compliance program track record in detecting and preventing misconduct. So let's talk about the headline issue first, which is AI technology. And under the rubric of new technologies, DOJ focuses compliance attention to two uses of AI: one, by the business for business purposes, and two, by compliance. In conducting risk assessments as a starting point in the design of a compliance program that addresses AI, DOJ directs that companies, quote, have a process for identifying and managing emerging internal and external risks that could potentially impact the company's ability to comply with the law, close quote, including AI, of course. DOJ directs that AI risks have to be identified and incorporated within the company's broader enterprise risk management, ERM, strategies, and to the extent that a company uses AI and similar technologies in its business or as part of its compliance program, DOJ asks whether the company has controls in place to monitor and ensure its trustworthiness, reliability, and use in compliance with applicable law and the company's code of conduct. So this is, I think, just a few comments on the AI issue. One is, it's important to focus first on the business uses that AI may give to your company. In other words, what AI services is the business going to incorporate in its processes such that it raises potential risks? Second is the use of AI technology in the compliance or legal and compliance shop, and how AI technology is used in that specific use case. And there, again, we have to see a measurement, identification of risk, measurement of risk, and then building a risk mitigation strategy. So let's talk about some of the other issues that came up during, you know, as part of this guidance rewrite. And there's really some important issues to talk about. First, let's talk about policies and procedures. With respect to policies and procedures, companies now have to develop a process to incorporate lessons learned, either the companies owned or those of similar companies, and particularly in the industry in which the company operates, and address the use of emerging technologies in this area as well. But policies and procedures now, by bringing in lessons learned and adjusting your policies and procedures, but broadening that inquiry to include other companies. So if another company gets prosecuted, they had problems, whatever, those lessons learned have to be taken and incorporated into that situation, into your policies and procedures. Another issue that came up was training. And training and communications have to be tailored to the needs, interests, and values of employees, and again, should address and incorporate lessons learned by the company or similar companies. Further, companies should measure how employees engaged with the training and test whether employees learn the subject matter. So now it's not just a simple check the box, did you attend your training, now you're eligible for your bonuses, did you complete your annual training requirements? Training has got to become a more interactive experience and a more effective experience, and training has to be tailored to the needs, interests, and values of the employees. So whatever it is, we look for responsible persons as your audience for a particular training content. Overall, code of conduct training obviously goes with that, but then addressing specific risks based upon prioritization, and how important this risk is to the business and how often it comes up, and then addressing the best way to educate, make people aware, and then provide them knowledge as to the controls that are in place that they have to comply with. Next issue was investigations and whistleblower protection. Now, DOJ added new guidance to encourage employees to speak up, to measure employee willingness to report. This is an interesting thing. So in a survey, it's not just do you say, well, would you feel comfortable, that you have to get into what kinds of issues do people feel comfortable about, how comfortable do they feel, and what channel for reporting would they use. And also, this is just important because once you start to track employee willingness, in other words, data, in other words, responses to survey questions and other types of sources of information, be it reported, anecdotal, then you need to sort of respond to those trends and then develop sort of enhancement or mitigation or improvement type of strategies to improve your willingness to report figures. Also, we have a general included with this is also to measuring, how people feel about whether whistleblowers would be protected from retaliation, and a more sophisticated means by which to monitor consequences to employees that report misconduct. Now, third-party management. One important reminder just at the headline that came up was with regard to third-party vendors and suppliers, and that DOJ has been noting that there is what I would call, not an improper, but maybe an unjustified reliance on simply the onboarding process. And they want to see more monitoring and continuing evaluation of your third parties over the course of the relationship. That's what their key term is in third-party management that they added. In other words, they want to see more ongoing monitoring resources, more renewal resources, some kind of process by which if there's a renewal under a contract, that there's a more formal process. And so that there's an ongoing monitoring and relationship and interactions that is just not being done these days with the hyper-focus on onboarding processes. Mergers and acquisitions came up. And again, the Justice Department is doing everything it can to address an issue and to get companies to focus on not just pre-acquisition due diligence, but getting much more involved in the post-acquisition integration process and in the planning for it and the execution of it. Companies have to establish now a process for the integration and for program oversight. I mean, there's only so much DOJ can do. They've already created safe harbors. Last year, they had the new voluntary disclosure safe harbor policy for mergers and acquisitions. And now they have to establish, and now they're telling you through the guidance, we want to also see a process for the integration and post-acquisition audits in high-risk areas to make sure that there's no problem. Another issue that came up, it was compliance and data analytics. And this, again, it's already been stressed by DOJ. But again, they actually brought in the context of data analytics. They expect companies to be moving towards data analytics. They expect using it as a monitoring tool. And that if you come in with a program without that, then you're going to definitely be behind the eight ball in that respect. So in recognition to availability of data analytics tools, DOJ outlined new guidance on access to data and use of data analytics. On the access issue, DOJ added language to emphasize compliance has to have access to every relevant source of data needed for timely and effective monitoring and testing. And that, to me, is yet again another reminder that when it comes to the difficulties that I've seen between HR, human resources, providing access to compliance departments for data, for monitoring, for tracking, that it is unacceptable. That barrier has to break down. We've seen over the years a continuing sort of difficulty and tension between compliance and HR departments, not everywhere, but we've seen it in many places, many times occurring too often. But we need to see more effective compliance coordination in sharing of data between HR offices and compliance. And with respect to data analytics, DOJ highlighted the importance of leveraging data analytics tools to create efficiencies in compliance operations, measurement, and monitoring strategies. On broader compliance topics, DOJ noted the need for companies to measure the commercial value of investments in compliance and risk management, in other words, return on investment. In addition, DOJ added an inquiry into whether the company's allocation of resources, personnel and technology to risk management is proportionate to technology and resources used by the company to identify and capture business opportunities. So that's just a quick overview. I'll be writing more about this on the blog, and probably we'll have another follow-up podcast episode to talk about some of the important trends and highlights of this to even dig down a little bit deeper on what I think this means for compliance moving forward. So have a great week. Thanks again for listening. We'll talk to you next week for another episode of Corruption, Crime, and Compliance.
If you enjoyed this episode, the best way to support the show is by subscribing on your favorite listening platform. To learn more and connect with Michael Volkov, go to volkovlaw.com.